Okay. We're going to have our service first, and then we'll take communion. Okay. It'll play into this a little bit for us. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, and I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for the revelation that you've given unto us in your word. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We thank you for this. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who you've given unto us to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. Father, we praise you every day for what we have received from you. And Father, we thank you that the more we learn of Jesus, the more really becomes to us, and he becomes more God to us every day. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get over there to Matthew chapter 16. Why don't you ask yourself a peculiar question? Every single person on the face of this planet has to answer this question. At some point in their life or another, they will have to answer this question. Who is God? Nobody's going to be able to get around this one question. Nobody. Who is God? Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Wow. That's a pretty heavy revy right there. And then look what happened when Peter got that revelation. Jesus said, you didn't get that from man, you got that from God. What spurred that moment on? Well, just a little bit before that, when Jesus came into the coast, in verse 13 said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, Some say you are John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Basically, he said, I don't care what your mama says. I don't care what your daddy says. I don't care what your pastor says. I want to know what you say. Every single person is going to have to answer to who Jesus is. Who is God to you today? Simon came up with the good answer. He said, You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus went on and said, Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to prevail against it. He didn't build his church on Peter. He built his church on that rock of revelation. Peter got a revelation, and Jesus went on and explained it. He said, You got this from God. You didn't get this from man. And upon this rock, immediately he said, upon this rock. He's talking about that revelation. He said, You got it. You got it from God. Upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church. You know, Jesus told us, he said, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He was giving us the keys. He was giving us the answers. He was showing us. He said, Learn of me. The more you learn of Jesus, the more revelation you're going to get of who he is. Amen? Pretty soon, you'll be standing there and you'll say, I know Jesus. I don't just know about him. I just don't know who he is, or who I know him. See, there's a lot of people that know about Jesus. There's a lot of people that know about God. They spent 15, 16 years in seminary, and they go tell people about God. I ran into some of them. I was trying to witness to them. They're having a great big Muslim convention in the Coors Event Center. And I ran into this guy and I was witnessing to him, I know about Jesus, he said. I spent 15 years in seminary. Sat under one of the most prolific pastors in the East Coast. I think back, I said, he knew about Jesus, he just didn't know him. See, you can know a lot about God, you can know a lot about Jesus, and not know him. You can memorize the Bible and not know Jesus. You know, it was kind of a rule that the Hebrew people had to memorize the first five books of the Bible. You know, especially if there's going to be a Pharisee or a scribe. They memorized the first five books of the Bible. Memorized it. Can you imagine? It's aggravating to read that sometimes. But they memorized it. But they didn't know Jesus. It's still a challenge. People know a lot about God. They know a lot about Jesus. But they don't know him because they haven't made it personal. Now, look at Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. The guys were in a bind. They were in trouble. Matthew 14, verse 22, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou come? When they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. They that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. You know, we sang that song, the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. You know, it's easy to praise God when you're on the mountaintop and things are rolling and, you know, things are going your way and you're clicking right along. You know, you just, you know, you can get your hands up in there and you can shout hallelujah. How about when it's tough, you know, and the grind is on, and things are not going your way. You don't have a job, you don't have any money, you don't have any this, you don't have any that. You know, the challenges are never ending sometimes. Is he still God? See, this is when it's really important. You know, David, he was anointed to be the king of Israel. I mean, the prophet himself came and poured a horn of oil over his head. I mean, he had opportunity to shout hallelujah and praise God, you know, and man, this is going to be cool. and he's living in a cave because the old king was chasing him around the mountains trying to kill him. But he's living in a cave. Now David, he could have curled up in that cave and said, you know, I think that prophet missed it. I think I must have done something wrong and God changed his mind. It sounds silly, but people do this all the time. They do it all the time. They don't understand that they should expect great friction before the blessing. You know, it's great that you said a good anointed prayer in agreement with people, that maybe a prophet spoke a word over you, or you got a certain promise from God, or you know you heard from God in your heart, you know that things are going to happen, and then all of a sudden it feels like you just ran into a wall. And now here's your choice. How you behave in a cave is going to determine how your life comes out on the other side. You curl up, play possum, hope the devil goes away. You're just going to be playing possum for a long time because he ain't going away. Unless you make him go away. But if you praise God, see, David wrote a lot of psalms of praise to God. You know, a lot of times he was in that cave praising God. See, that's when you need, that's what he's talking about when we offer up the sacrifice of praise. That's when you're down, you're in the ditch, and things are hard, and it's a grind, you know, and you're almost to the fourth watch of the night. Remember the fourth watch of the night? The guys were out there in the ship. It was looking like things were going to get bad. I mean, this thing could sink at any time. But Jesus showed up in the fourth watch of the night. You know, you just, well, you're going to do something. You're going to do something when you're in the cave. You're a people. And that's the way people are. You're going to say something. You're going to think something. And you're going to do something. You just, well, say, think, and do something that God says. Why not just praise God? It don't make no sense. You know, you can't figure out how to make this work. You can't see any end to the situation. You don't have any slick ideas and you don't have any cool friends. And what are you going to do? Praise God. Praise God. See, this is when it gets really cool because, like, Peter jumped out of that boat and he was walking on water and he started sinking and he cried out and said, Jesus, save me. And right immediately, there it was. And they walked back to the boat. Who is God to you? You know, in Exodus, Moses asked him, said, who am I going to say sent me when I go tell these Egyptian people, turn your people loose? They're going to want to see my credentials. He said, I am that I am. I am. See, this is one of the things when the Pharisees had Jesus and they were about ready to string him up. And they said, did you call yourself the Son of God? And he said, I am. And that sent them into an immediate frenzy because they said, that's blasphemy. He says, calls himself God. Well, he is God. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. We can't wrap our minds around that, but we can believe it in our heart. Amen? Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. One of the things you're going to find out about God, Exodus 15, verse 26, is a lot of his names are descriptive. It'd be a good thing for you to go in there and find the different names for God. Verse 26. Said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Right there, he was describing himself as the God that healed. Do you need healing in your body? Look to him as the God that healeth thee. You know, he is everything to everybody. Make it personal. You are the Lord my healer. You are the Lord my provider. You are the Lord my shepherd. He wants to be everything that you need him to be. Unfortunately, when people just know about God, they don't know him as healer. They don't know him as provider. They don't know him as the great shepherd, the great I am, the protector. He wants you to make it personal. Here's a little secret to making things personal. When you make it personal, it gets inside of you, and then it's yours. You own it. Huh? You don't believe me? Just get a resentment for somebody. When you get a resentment for somebody, you make it personal. You own it. And then nobody can talk you out of it until God finally gets you convinced that you need to let this thing go for your own health, for your own sanity. God wants you to take it personal. He wants you to make him personal to you. Each little area that you need some help in, he is the God that meets that need. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you need light in your dark situation? Look to Jesus. Look unto Jesus. The Bible tells us to look unto Jesus. You know, here's the thing. When the Israelites were out in the desert, they sinned, and these serpents bit them, started biting them. Moses said, oh boy, what do I do now? God said, take a bronze serpent. Bronze is significant in judgment, significant of judgment in the Bible. And take that bronze serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up. Well, he said, those that look upon that serpent will be healed. So the Israelites that looked upon that serpent, looked up that serpent that was lifted up on a pole, they seen their sin judged on that pole, and they walked away well. Jesus was lifted up on a pole. Look unto him and see your sickness judged on that cross and walk away whole. See your fears judged on that cross and walk away whole. See your prosperity met at that cross and walk away whole. Jesus is everything to every man that will receive him. Let's look at Psalm chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now I go over to verse 16. It says, he sent from above. He took me, he drew me out of many waters. You know, David was in a lot of tight places. He'd been in a lot of skirmishes, a lot of things, been cornered. One time even King Saul went into the cave that David was in. It was so close, David cut off a piece of his robe and showed it to him. That's pretty close. To somebody that wants you dead, that's getting pretty close. But David wouldn't touch him. But here's the thing. David knew God. He didn't know about him. He knew him. He knew about this covenant. He said, and he'd remind himself when he was in this cave. He'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who healeth all thy diseases, who forgives all thine iniquities. He'd go through this. Right there, he was just describing who God was to him. We need to do that sometimes. Describe who God is to us. I got a funny story about one of the Adams. I said, well, God to be a husband, or Jesus be a husband to the widow. So she called me on the phone one day and said, well, my husband said, you need to get your butt over here and fix my toilet. Since you work for him, you get over here and fix my toilet. I said, well, I guess I will. Well, she decided she'd just go ahead and let him be the husband to the widow. Amen? What is it you need today in life? Will you let God meet that need? We let him be God in your life. Jesus said he'd bring light into a dark situation. There's people running around in such a doom and gloom attitude right now. Some of them are Christians. Some of them are churchgoers. And they think it's the end of the world. I talked to them and they said, no, it's the end. This country is done. They said, there's no way out. There's nothing anybody can do. Well, they're believing the lies of man instead of believing God. You know, I think God has an ace in the hole. I think he's got an ace. I don't think. At least, as far as I'm concerned, I'm never ever going to believe that the devil has the upper hand on God. Anybody ever watch the Hatfields and McCoys?
Yes. I'm from that area.
Well, yeah. Well, Uncle Jim and Devil Lance were going down the road, and Uncle Jim had him a Yankee prisoner. And Devil Lance told him, take off running. So he took off running, and he ran a long way, and finally Devil Lance shot him. Uncle Jim looked at him and said, I thought you was going to let him go. And Devil Lance said, well, he did too. The devil thinks he's going to get away with some stuff. But he's not. God wins in the end. He wins. God always wins. That's light. That's light. It really irritates me. Even pastors are saying, well, it's the end. Do you know Jesus, or do you just know about Jesus? I'm not giving up. I'm not wanting to give in on this deal. It may be the fourth watch of the night, but you watch Jesus show up and show off. Amen. Who is God to you? Look at John chapter 11, verse 25. I'm not sure what time it is. That clock, I think, has been on that same time for... Wow. Huh? Oh, okay. John chapter 11... Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I don't care how bad it gets for a Christian, the devil is not going to win at all. Are you just existing and wondering if you have a purpose? You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are wondering what God's will for them is. A lot of these people have been sitting in church 10, 15, 20, 30 years, wondering what God's will is for them. Shame on their pastor for not showing them this. The New Testament is God's will for you. The New Testament. That's what that means. Testament means will. This is a living will. You know, when somebody dies, they leave a will. They have a testator for that will. They have somebody to make sure things go the way they're supposed to. Well, Jesus came back to life. Now, he's the testator of this new living will for our lives, and he is there to make sure that this gets performed the way he designed it to. All he needs is a little bit of cooperation from y'all. How would that cooperation be? Let me open it up and read that thing and find out what's in there so you can receive it. You know, you're not going to receive anything you don't believe in, and you're not going to believe in anything that you haven't heard. You got to read that. Find out what's in there. Find out who God is to you. Find out what he wants to do through you. Find out what he's already done to you. Amen? You know, if you had a rich grandma that passed away, and a lawyer called you and said, Grandma left an envelope to be opened only by you. I just bet you that you'd get right down there and open that envelope, find out what Grandma had to say. I don't care how rich Grandma was. Can't even get close to your Father in heaven. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns gold under those hills, and he owns those hills. He has wealth that we can't even dream of. And people get born again all the time, and they get them a Bible. I mean, there's people with great big fancy Bibles. They got it from Grandma. And it's nice. And they got every birthday and every wedding and every funeral date wrote down in this Bible. And it sits on the coffee table. It's beautiful. But that's all it does is sit on that coffee table. Open that thing up. Get you a set of highlighters. If you got one of those Bibles that is just so holy that you can't write in it, put it in a glass case and go get you a Bible that you can write in. And start highlighting these important things in there that you read. You know, when you're in church and somebody says something and it strikes a nerve in you, underline it. And then go back and read it. And then every once in a while when you get bored and you don't have anything else to do, go back to your Bible and read the stuff that you've highlighted. Just go through there and just read a whole bunch of highlighted stuff. Watch what that does to you. It'll feed you in such a special way. And you'll find out that God is the bread of life. And that His Word is what you feed on to survive. But ask yourself, what challenges do I have? And who is God to me today? And then go on the adventure. You're going to go on an adventure anyway. You're going to go on a ride. Regardless, Wayne Meyer said that if your testimony is more than 24 hours old, you're backsliding. So you only got two directions you can go. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You're not planetary. I know people like to get to a comfort zone and just kind of put it in park. And, you know, it'd be nice to get to that spot and just kind of stay put for a little bit and stay quiet. But guess what? You're either going forward or you're going backwards. You just will keep going forward. Amen? If you have to put it in four-wheel drive, then put it in four-wheel drive. But keep going. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus that every time we look into your word, we get fed. We get spiritually fed, and it affects our body, it affects our minds, it affects our spirits in a positive way. Jesus brings light into us. He is the light of the world. And we thank you for everything that Jesus is doing for us as our high priest, as he's making intercession for us, the saints, and the Holy Spirit, who is here to convince us of our righteousness, even in the face of mistakes that we've made. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, could I have a couple of people help me with that? Amen. He is the God that healeth thee. Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. We literally had to look at that bread and see Jesus as the bread of life. We look at this bread and see how it's been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten for us, certainly. Also, this bread has stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Jesus was pierced. Certainly when he was on the cross, he took a spear to his side. He was pierced there, but he was pierced in his scalp. He was pierced in his hands. He was pierced in his feet. Everywhere he got pierced, we got some redemption for it. And his body was broken. And also this bread is slightly burned. You look at this bread, it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, that judgment that was meant for us, was put on Jesus when he was on that cross. Maybe next Sunday I'll show you a full sheet of matzah bread so you can see the full picture of it, the way God designed it to be made, and you can see the long stripe, all the piercings. It's really fascinating when you get a revelation of it. We're taking this. You are the God that healeth us, and we're taking this for our healing. Jesus' blood is the most powerful substance that has ever been turned loose on this earth. There was nothing was ever the same again. Everything changed. This blood did something that no human could ever do. And they tried for thousands of years. It made a man in right standing with God forever. Think about that. No man could do that. Only the blood of Jesus. And it sealed in the New Testament promises for us. It made you white as wool, and it protects you. We thank you for this. Well, all right, we got some good food back here.